Hello and welcome to the second installment of Let's Make a Monster, part of the Final Girls Horror Cast, the monthly special episode where we steal one of my non-horror loving friends and force them to watch a horror movie in hopes that we can turn them to the dark side. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today we have with us our newest victim, my girl Lizzie. Welcome, Lizzie.
Hello.
Hello.
Basically, I'm just going to interview Lizzie so we can get to the movie, but today's movie is going to be An American Werewolf in London. This is a kind of an interesting case, but we'll get to that in a minute. Lizzie, can you please give us some information on what you do for a living?
Sure. I am an attorney.
You're an attorney.
Yeah.
You're fancy.
I've got a fancy.
So fancy. Yeah.
And what kind of movies do you like? Like, if you could just turn on TV right now and put on any movie in the world, what movies, kind of movies do you like?
Well, in general, I'm just a big movie fan. I grew up working in movie theaters, and I've always just been a big movie fan in general. But at the moment, I'm really into foreign movies, art movies. Like, I've just gotten really into, like, sounds so pretentious, French, like, new wave movies from the 60s.
Nice.
I like documentaries and foreign movies and independent movies, so I'm kind of a snob like that.
Yeah. I am kind of too. I love, yeah, like, foreign movies and art house movies, yeah, and things like that. And if you decide to keep on the show, we can definitely pick up some, like, cool old horror movies.
Definitely.
So what do you dislike most about horror movies?
I've been trying to think of an answer to this question because I have a very visceral reaction to horror movies that I haven't really tried to take apart. But what I know I don't like are jumpy stuff, mm-hmm, the things that make my heart beat too fast and, mm-hmm, make me feel uncomfortable and apprehensive, like Paranormal Activity type jumpy things.
Right.
And also things that leave a lot to the imagination that keep me up at night because,
yeah,
I have trouble sleeping anyway, and that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
I hear that.
For sure. You know, I'm not crazy about jumpy parts too, unless they're like really well crafted and they get me. But I tend to, like, I used to be like that, where I'd freak out, but now it's kind of like, when there's a jumpy part, I laugh, and then I go, oh, you got me.
Yeah. I don't mind jump scares when they're done well, but I think that too many people use them as just, like, the norm, and I don't like that.
Or when the whole movie is just, mm-hmm, jump scares.
Yeah.
I'm like, still, like, exactly, a child with that stuff. I mean, every time it happens, I lose my mind, and I, like, freak out the whole movie, and I feel like I'm gonna have a panic attack.
So, what was your relationship with horror films growing up?
Well, I grew up with kind of, like, hippie parents. I didn't watch a lot of TV. I didn't watch a lot of, you know, R-rated type movies when I was a little kid. And neither of my parents like horror.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a lot of friends who were into horror movies, so I just didn't watch a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some old stuff like The Exorcist and The Omen, and I could kind of enjoy that. But I really didn't see a lot of horror movies as a kid growing up. I didn't see them until, you know, later when I worked at theaters and I saw everything, basically.
Right. Yeah, Carly and I have talked about this before, but I was kind of late to the game in terms of, like, people that are obsessed with horror. Like, usually they start really young.
Mm-hmm.
I was the same, and my parents weren't hippies, but they weren't into horror movies. Like, no one in my family really was, and none of my friends really were. So I think I was probably, like, 13 or 14 when I started getting into horror movies, which is probably the age you should be when you get into horror movies. But
definitely.
Carly, you were you fairly young when you got into horror? Your dad's into horror movies, isn't he?
Yeah, my whole family was. I remember the only one, I never really got censored watching anything when I was little, but I do remember my mom telling me that I couldn't watch It.
Yeah.
When I came in and Pennywise was, like, in the storm drain, she was like, you should leave.
Yeah.
Like, fair enough.
Yeah.
Clowns are the worst.
That's probably good parenting on her part, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That fucked a lot of kids up.
Yeah. I remember watching, like, Poltergeist when I was little, so I don't really know where they how they decided what I could watch.
Well, you know, no one actually dies in Poltergeist. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
true.
Yeah.
And there's little kids. I don't know. There's little kids, I guess,
There
and
is. Yeah, there's a lot of kid stuff.
I don't know. I don't know how
Yeah,
they
I would think
decided.
actually Poltergeist would be pretty terrifying as a child.
Yeah, that's when I feel like a lot of my friends saw as kids that
Yeah.
weren't scared them. And I think I remember my parents telling me I couldn't watch that. I
Yeah.
wanted to, and they were like, no.
Yeah. Okay, and then you have actually seen quite a few horror movies,
I
and
was really surprised you said
in terms of people that hate horror movies, I think
that.
that you've seen
Yeah,
quite a
exactly.
few. And I think the ratio of good to bad horror movies you've seen is kind of impressive. And I know it's because you have close friends that are horror
Yeah.
nerds, so they probably make you watch like
Yes,
good horror
hobby.
movies. Yeah, Hobby does.
Hobby's, it's his fault. He's forced me.
So, I'm not really surprised. There's a couple movies on there where I'm like, oh, I know who made you watch that movie, But, I'm really surprised. Like, here, guys, I made Lizzie write out all the horror movies she
I
watched.
spent a lot of time doing this.
And there's, okay, let me just, like, for my horror movie nerd listeners, I'm gonna shout out some movies. So, like, Deathgasm. She's seen Deathgasm. She's seen Battle Royale.
That's you.
That is me. I didn't make you watch that. But you've seen The Witch, which is a new movie.
Yeah.
You've seen The Fly. You've seen Scanners, so you have some
Sleepaway camp.
Sleepaway Camp,
Yep,
Evil Dead.
unfortunately.
Evil Dead. That's also my doing.
Yep.
Jaws. Just like those are the good ones. There's some other decent ones. They've seen like The Exorcist and Pet
Like The
Sematary.
Shining and
Yeah.
those are all recent too. All those movies I've seen in the last couple years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And has seeing some of those movies made you feel any different?
Well, I realized that I'm really not as sensitive to gore as I thought I was.
Right.
It doesn't really bother me like The Fly.
Yeah.
It was disturbing, obviously, but the gore didn't really bother me. And the like Evil Dead, like you told me that I wouldn't be that scared
Yeah.
because it was kind of old effects and stuff. And I found that like old school gore doesn't really bother me either. And I've been able to enjoy like The Fly's a good movie, you know. It
Yeah.
has like meaning and it's interesting. It's not just gore for the sake of gore. Yeah, I mean, The Witch pissed me off because of the baby stuff.
Yeah,
But
the baby
yeah,
stuff is hard to watch
I've realized
sometimes.
that I have more of a tolerance for horror than I thought I did, but I haven't really enjoyed any of that too much.
Okay, so of all of the films that you have on this list, which one did you enjoy the most?
Well, I think some of them are probably things that you might not really consider horror, like Silence of the Lambs. I
Sure.
don't know if that's really a horror movie.
Sure,
It's
it
one of my
counts.
favorite
I
movies for
think it counts.
sure.
People like to say it doesn't count just because
Yeah.
it's a good
It's one of my
movie.
favorites. I love Scanners. I thought Scanners was great.
Yeah, Scanners is great.
Scanners is great.
I loved Battle Royale.
Yeah,
It
so
scared me,
good.
but it was really good
Yeah.
because it was interesting. You know, the
Right.
story was good, and that's what
Yeah.
I appreciate. Like Deathgasm, I was not impressed with, honestly, because the story wasn't very good.
No, it's not good. It's just really
It's
gory.
really gory. Yeah.
And kind of funny.
It was kind of funny.
Entertaining.
Yeah. Okay, well that's really interesting. And I actually didn't really pick this movie, and this probably wouldn't be the movie I would pick for you. But you showed interest in it, and it's streaming, and it's Halloween time, and it's just like the perfect time to
All
watch
right. I've been
an
wanting to watch
American
these
Horror
movies.
Story. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you kind of picked this movie. Do you want to tell everyone why you picked it?
I think I've just heard it was a good movie. I think Mike has been telling me for a while that he likes this and he thinks I
Your
would like,
boyfriend?
yeah, that
Yeah.
my boyfriend, like, he knows he's been with me through this horror journey lately. Our friends forcing me to watch horror movies. He made me watch Sleepaway Camp, which I think was just sadistic.
That was really mean of
Yeah,
him.
he's kind of an asshole.
It's so fun. It's so
Oh.
fun, but
Except for that last
those
scene.
last scenes.
Oh,
That last scene where you're like,
burned in my
what just
brain
happened?
forever.
Like the meet me at the waterfront after the social
Yeah,
section of
that
the
was, oh
movie.
God. Brutal,
Fucking
brutal.
love that movie so
Jesus
much.
Christ.
Oh, because it tricks you. It's so good at tricking
Yeah, you
you.
get comfortable with how silly it
It's
is, and
so
then it just
silly.
scares the shit out of you at the end.
Like, Sam Wiener
Oh,
in your
yep,
face.
and that face and the sound.
Oh, it's so good.
I don't know what it is about that that's so scary
I
either.
don't
It's just,
either,
I
but
want to
I still
know.
have a problem with it. Like, I think I was just traumatized the first time I watch it. So every time I watch it, I get to the end and I'm like, I don't know if I need to watch the
I'm just
last
like, here it
part.
comes, here it comes.
I know, and Mike would keep making that sound that she
Yeah.
makes, and I would be like, seriously, I'm not gonna sleep tonight. Stop. It's killing me. Oh, The Shining, I love too. I forgot
you,
about
well,
that.
Everyone loves The Shining, and if you don't, I don't want to
I
know
also,
you.
I read Stephen King, so I love Stephen King
yeah,
stories.
Yeah, that's true. You love, we're reading Needful Things right now for book club, and Lizzie's like more into it than anyone.
I love Stephen King. Yeah. I don't, and it scares the shit out of me, but I love it anyway.
Yeah.
Because well, I like
books,
the writing.
There's no jump scares in books.
Yeah, like, it's true.
Nothing makes, like, things can creep you out in books, but nothing's going to make you jump out of your seat.
And it still keeps me up at night, but
like,
I read them anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, I love Stephen King also. I've been on a Stephen King binge for my October.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
We're watching 31 horror movies in 31 days for the month of October. And I've watched two Stephen King movies already. I watched Pet Sematary and I watched Misery recently.
Oh, I need to see Misery.
Oh, you really do.
I haven't seen Misery in so long.
I've only seen it on TV and
it's
like here and there.
It's on Amazon Prime right now and everyone go watch it.
Okay.
It's been so long since I've seen it and I only saw it on TV growing up. So like, going back and getting to watch all of it is awesome, and I highly recommend everyone does it. That movie does not get enough, like, praise in the horror community. It's fantastic.
And I feel like I saw it when I was younger, too.
Yeah,
so
it was
I
on
don't...
TV a lot,
it
which
was
is
always
kind of
on
weird.
TV, but, like, the worst scenes of it were cut out, so it's like you didn't even get to, like, see all the awesomeness.
I can't even look at the Strangeland cover. It's, like, bothering me.
I'm
Amy
sorry.
Has it pulled up on the
sorry.
Screen of the list of things
I'm
I see.
Sorry.
That movie traumatized me for life.
Oh my God. I'm a little bit worried about you watching An American Werewolf in London.
No, I'm tough now. It's okay.
All right, girl.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, guys. So that was enough banter for now. We will be back in a little bit. For those of you that want to watch along, you can pause here. American Werewolf in London is now streaming on Amazon Prime, so feel free to watch along with us. Be fair warned that after this break, there will be spoilers. So we'll see you on a little bit.
David!
What? Now, I'm really sorry to be upsetting you, but I have to warn you.
Warn me?
We were attacked by a werewolf.
I'm not listening to this.
On the moors, we were attacked by a lycanthrope, a werewolf. I was murdered, an unnatural death, and now I walk the earth in limbo until the werewolf's curse is lifted.
Shut up.
The wolf's bloodline must be severed. The last remaining werewolf must be destroyed. It's you, David.
What?
Please believe me. You'll kill people.
Nurse!
Listen to me!
Nurse!
The supernatural. The power of darkness. It's all true. The undead surround me. Have you ever talked to a corpse? It's boring. I'm lonely. Take your life, David. Kill yourself. Before you kill others. Please don't cry. Beware the moon, David.
And we're back. Again. We recorded this part already, but somehow we lost it, so let's start this over again. Do over. We just finished watching An American Werewolf in London, and Lizzie, how did you like the movie?
I really liked it a lot.
Yeah?
I did. I enjoyed it. I was surprised I liked it as much as I did.
Yeah.
It was good.
I'm so glad you liked it. I'm so glad that you picked it. I probably would have picked something very different.
I don't remember picking this, but
you
I'll
did.
Take your word
you
for
said
it.
I want to watch American Werewolf in London. Like you
I
said,
did?
You said those words to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then you I also said you. I would like to watch a vampire film, and I thought maybe you might want to watch like Fright Night or something, but it wasn't streaming, and I don't own it, so.
I think I thought this was an art movie.
You thought?
I think.
Was, yeah.
Is American Werewolf in Paris an art movie?
I don't
like an old art. I thought it was an old art movie.
There's like
I was totally wrong about what it is.
There's an old art movie called An American in London in Paris. I
well,
think.
That's a James Joyce story.
Yeah, not,
I don't know.
Not the same.
So place. I was totally wrong about what this was, but I really liked it.
Yeah. 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 Uh-huh, you're
that
right.
Dude, the drummer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, love him.
So, just some background about this
Girls
movie.
Girls of a certain age.
Because John Landis did a bunch of comedies before this, he did The Blues Brothers, Animal House, the Kentucky Fried Movie. So the first movie he did was called Schlock, which was half horror, half comedy about an ape. making friends with some woman. Yeah, so he needed an ape mask. He borrowed money from his friends and family to make this movie. And he wanted to get an ape mask. But he couldn't afford, like, the really good one at this store on Hollywood Boulevard. So the guy at the store felt bad for him and was like, hey, call this kid. Gave him a card. And he calls him, and the kid still lives with his mother. And his mother and father, his family. And his name is Rick Baker. He's the Rick Baker that we know today. And he basically just used this kid who was making masks and using his mother's oven. And yeah, they became a team and worked on this movie, Schlock, and also Thriller, which Michael Jackson saw An American Werewolf in London and decided, yes, need to make that a music video.
Give me those yellow plastic eyes.
Yeah. I want the glass contacts because that's what they fucking used back then.
Jesus.
Could you imagine how fucking painful? Yeah. And then this movie was also, like, really hard for John Landis to get made. He wrote it in 1969 and it just, like, sat on a shelf for a long time. So when John Landis finally got this film made, he went to show it at some super fancy neighborhood outside of Chicago, and back when they did screenings, they didn't, like, pick the audience. They just kind of let whoever come that wanted to come, and it just said, oh, from the maker of Animal House, come check out this movie, and a bunch of people were expecting a comedy and ended up getting this very different type of movie instead, and he said that he said 150 people got up and left the theater all at once and kept filtering out throughout the film. But, you know, once it found its audience, I think it did really well, and just kind of an interesting story. And John Landis is really great at making horror. I don't know why he didn't do more of it. I know he did some of the Masters of Horror episodes. I don't know if anyone watched that. I wish I did. I didn't. I should go back and watch those. You haven't watched them either, Carly?
No.
No. But, yeah. I wish he did more. He's such a good horror director. I really love this movie and think it's really effective.
I think you can tell that he was a comedy filmmaker, obviously, and that's why I liked it so much, is that he really balances comedy and horror well into a real, what felt to me like a real movie.
Yeah, and I think that really helps with the characters being kind of lovable.
Yeah.
You know, they're interesting, they're fun. You know, even in death, Jack is a pretty lovable, fun character.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he looks totally grotesque.
Always looking after his friend, even though he's saying he has to kill himself.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
Little flap of skin, like, pulling my hair out every time he talks.
The British comedy stuff was great. That was
fun. I almost
a little slapsticky.
I was almost hoping for John Cleese to just, like, walk by in one of the scenes.
No, it has a really good flow, and
it
doesn't take itself too seriously.
No, not at all. Not at all.
One of the things I really liked about this movie is the balance of, like, comedy done really well. Like, the movie didn't take itself too seriously. It knew how to make fun of itself, but it still, you know, made an attempt to have a real storyline and some serious aspects to it. And I think a lot of horror movies I've seen don't balance those two things very well. Because, you know, a movie like Deathgasm, for example, you know, it's a movie where it knows it's ridiculous and it doesn't really make an effort to do, like, a good backstory or have real, like, emotional storylines, while still balancing kind of a, you know, having a sense of humor about what it is. And I really like that about this movie. It felt like a real movie to me. Because that's what I don't really like about a lot of horror movies I've seen, is it doesn't feel, it feels like it's just a vehicle for you know, scare tactics or whatever. And it doesn't feel real to me.
Really? With all of the horror movies you've seen?
Not all of them, just in general. Not all of them, certainly.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, there's definitely a story here, and a good one. I think it's an interesting story too. I mean, it's not something you see all the time.
No,
it was, you know, two friends traveling abroad and being dudes in the early 80s.
Yeah. And I think that the continuation of their friendship and interactions throughout the movie. At first, I thought it was really silly.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this really necessary? Like, are they trying to explore this, like, you know, these doubts he's having about himself? Or is this how they have, like, when you see an adaptation of a book and they add another character so you can see a character's internal thoughts or whatever, I kind of mm-hmm. thought that was what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see, like, the evolution in their relationship throughout the movie, and I thought that was interesting. I liked how that was done.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that also. He's so gross looking.
Yeah, he just gets more disgusting.
He gets more and more disgusting.
I love the decay.
I love the very first time you see him after the incident, and he has that little piece of skin that just like flaps.
Yeah, it's like it was just like shit. It looks. That's what was so funny. They must have noticed that when they made it, like a little chunks flapping under his chin. It was like, oh god.
There's no way that wasn't on purpose.
Yeah,
no,
that was brutal.
That was very much planned.
That didn't bother me though. I mean, no. That didn't upset me. Like the gruesomeness of that for some reason, like that doesn't, I think it's funny and it was done really well, but it didn't
exactly.
upset me.
Yeah
it's almost comedic. It's right. like this it's is gross, here to just sure. make you go, oh god, what's
yeah.
happening.
Yeah
What did you think was the hardest part to watch, like the most gruesome or difficult to watch?
You know, I didn't take a lot of notes on that. I'm not really sure. I think that I really have trouble with knife slicing into skin stuff, yeah. as you probably noticed while you were watching my reaction.
During the dream sequence.
Yeah, the dream sequences definitely were like the most jump scary type parts of the
right.
movie. And I mean, it was kind of funny because they have these like, I don't know what it is, like old Nazi ghosts or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand the connection
there.
Monster
murder dream.
Yeah. Yeah. But when the guy has the knife, I know it's so silly because this isn't like a part that's, you know, outrageous or werewolf scary, but it's just the guy holding the knife to his throat and then cutting his throat. That's what I can't watch. And then when he was thinking about slicing his wrists open in the telephone booth, I had to like look away because just the throat and wrist stuff, I don't know why it bothers me so much. But...
Yeah, and he was saying like that scene was the scariest for him to film because he said the guy that was wearing, had the knife to his throat, had this mask on and he couldn't see really well. And it was a real knife. So he was like really scared.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He was like, I hope that he can see all right enough.
Yeah.
But he doesn't accidentally slip my throat.
Oh, also when one of the first dream sequences, when he's hopping through the forest and he like eats a deer or whatever it was. I am very sensitive to like animal brutality and I was just like, oh, he's eating
me
the
too.
Animal.
Yeah, Carly is
I am on your team with that.
Amy's
I think
like,
that.
It's not a real deer.
it only bothers me if it's real. It doesn't bother me if it's obviously fake.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like I've said many times, I will never watch Cannibal Holocaust, but, you know, things like this are ridiculous and nowhere near real, you know?
That reminds me about something that I thought of during the movie was that it had almost Monty Python, like, aspects to it.
It kind of did.
Like, the ridiculous animals dying with, like, the bright red blood, and then also just the slapsticky stuff with the cops.
Yeah.
And some of the British humor in it. I really loved that.
I love the bright red blood. It was very,
I like that too.
Very, like, Italian horror, like...
It felt deliberate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was definitely an homage to, like, Suspiria and things like that, where the blood is just so, so red. It looks almost like red paint. I love that. I love, 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 like, the contrast in colors.
It just looks like food coloring, like, drenched all over these bodies on the ground.
Yeah.
I love that. It's, like, final... Like, one second, they look like humans, and then they're just these, like, wet goo piles drenched in, like, red food coloring. I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, dead now.
Yeah, that movie theater scene is one of my favorites.
That's great.
So good.
I remember watching that, like, as a kid. And, like...
Ew.
And, like, it, you know, it was on TV. They blurred out all the porn stuff in the background. And I remember being like, ew, why is he in a porn theater? Why are there all these dead people? You know, just, like, turning on the movie in the middle of it and be like, why are there all these dead... What kind of movie is this?
Not to be a continuity nerd or anything, but, like, I am. And you called it, like, nonstop orgasm... Or, no, orgy fest.
Yeah.
There's no orgy. It's just two people having sex. I just want to point that out. It's my only problem.
But that whole thing was supposed to be ridiculous.
Yeah, like, yeah, I guess
like,
so.
Like, she's answering the phone in the middle of
Yeah, the guy walks in and the porn in the background. Oh, wrong room, sorry.
I've never seen you before.
Yeah. All right. That was funny. I like that. I liked the little comedy aspects in the middle of these really serious scenes.
Yeah.
I think that was balanced really well.
Yeah.
I appreciated that.
Yeah. And I liked how the whole, like, animal reaction to him, like, even before his first transformation when, you know, like he first gets to her apartment, you can hear dogs barking in the background.
Yeah, I love that.
And then you see another dog barking at him, and then a cat hissing at him, and then another dog barking at him. It just gets more and more intense as the movie goes on.
There's a lot of foreshadowing in this movie, and it wasn't super obvious, but it was consistent. And it felt like that's one of the things that made it feel like a real movie, that it was... I don't know. There were a lot of layers built into it. I liked the foreshadowing. I liked the wind sounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, I liked that a lot. I mean, I'm surprised I liked it as much as I did, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm glad that you liked it so much.
I was expecting it to just be kind of amusing and like, oh, that was funny, whatever. But I appreciate the filmmaking of it because...
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's pretty to look at, too. I mean, the cinematography is beautiful. Camera angles, I thought, really, like, I was trying to pay attention to things during this movie. And, like, horror movies, I'm usually just trying to get through them. But this one, I was paying attention. And I noticed the effective use of camera angles to convey, like, apprehension or to make you nervous. Like, at the beginning when the boys are walking through the, what is it?
The moor.
And they kind of, they shoot them from behind and you see their backpacks. It's terrifying. Yeah. Like, and I was like, okay, that worked pretty well. And it wasn't a really, I don't know, like ostentatious use of scare tactics. It was just kind of subtle. And I enjoyed that. And the way he was lying in the hospital bed, they had the camera angle going up to look at the doctor and the nurse and to show his point of view that he's kind of like overwhelmed and confused. Yeah. I mean, that's like real filmmaking. And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be surprised. There's actually quite a bit of real filmmaking in horror movies.
I guess I might believe you. I know. I've seen it before.
Yeah, but no, I know what you mean. There's, you know, there's some horror movies that do it more than others, and some horror movies feel more like a vehicle. And honestly, I think a lot of Hollywood movies right now are maybe not as good at it. But there's so many really good, like, smaller independent movies that I think... have amazing cinematography. Neon Demon, to name one of the more recent ones, that has it's one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen.
Yeah, I saw my roommates were watching it. I saw a couple seconds of it yesterday. Yeah. I couldn't watch it because I knew that the sounds that they were making when they were watching that movie, I was just like, I don't need that right now. But it was gorgeous. I could see that.
Horror films are getting prettier and prettier, and it's nice when they, you know, the framing's really nice, and you'll hear a lot of, like, horror fans be like, oh, it's such a pretty movie, or, like, it was filmed so nicely, or, you know, the framework's really good. So I feel like horror movies, they're very visual-based in terms of, like, how they make you feel.
Yeah.
So... when it's, I think it's even more effective to be creepy and scary when they have that working for them.
Well, there was some use of subtlety too, which I liked, because I know that horror movies rely heavily on visuals to create, you know, an environment and like feelings of apprehension or other feelings. And sometimes it just feels very obvious to me and manipulative, like obvious, they're all manipulative, but this one, there was like a good use of subtlety and I like appreciated that. Oh, we can talk about I mean, I know that you have talked about how you like to go a little deeper into, like, meaning and background and, I don't know, analyzing the stories of movies. And I wanted to see what you thought. I know, I'm not, this is your podcast, I'm not trying to interview you,
no,
but I was just curious with the storyline of, you know, the perspective of the protagonist becomes the monster kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting. I haven't seen a lot of horror movies. I know that that's a classic type of thing, but it was very interesting to me because you feel sympathy for him and you're rooting for him, but he's like killing people. And
recently on our show we did a movie called Starry Eyes, which is basically the same thing, where the protagonist becomes a monster, and she is, I mean, you just love her kind of throughout the entire movie, even though she turns into this terrible, terrible thing. So it's pretty common in horror movies to sympathize with the monster. And those tend to be some of my favorite horror movies.
You know, I like that too.
There's definitely movies like Friday the 13th and A Nightmare on Elm Street where the monster is like very one-dimensional and you don't really know a ton about them and you just kind of like fear them because of their simplicity.
Yeah,
you don't
totally
understand them.
And those are some of the scariest movies to me that I won't watch.
For
stuff
sure.
Like Freddy the 13th or Freddy the 13th. You know, combining them. Yeah, those one-dimensional monsters that you don't have much information about and things that I don't have much information about scares me the most, I think.
For sure.
And so, yeah, that's a good example.
That's why people hate the new Halloween movies, because Rob Zombie's trying to give Michael Myers all this background and all this, like, no, he's supposed to be simple and you're supposed to, like, fear him
you fear the unknown.
You don't understand him. You know, I feel the same way. I think that the scariest monsters for sure are the ones you don't understand.
Yeah.
But there's also movies like this that are highly effective in because you feel for the monster.
Right.
And
it's confusing.
Because you fear for the monster and their transformation, that you sympathize with them and you are afraid that something like that could even happen to you.
Right.
You know, it's scary in a completely different type of
totally.
Way.
Yeah. Yeah. It changes. It kind of confuses your instinctual feelings about what's good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely.
I feel like this movie is different in a lot of ways than the newer ones that make the main character kind of like the monster, because this one you kind of start out in the first scene knowing that he's going to become the monster, mm-hmm. yeah. whereas other ones they like try to make it that's like the twist ending nowadays.
Right.
Is that like it's, you know, the girl you don't is really unassuming, and then she ends up being the murderer or whatever, the killer at the end.
Right.
But this one's different because, like, you know what's coming.
It's true. There's really no twist at all in this movie. It's pretty straightforward. You can kind of see everything coming that's going to come.
But that was the most interesting thing. You just kind of hope that maybe he'll, like, figure it out.
Yeah.
That was one of the most interesting things about this movie to me, was just watching how he handles waiting to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? Because you can see the apprehension and his nervousness and him not really knowing what to believe and just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. You know, everybody says the full moon's coming. We all know what that means. So.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, what's scarier? Having a monster following you, stalking you, trying to kill you, or knowing that you have to die in order for other people to live? Like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
They're both pretty fucking scary.
Yeah. Or just waiting to become a monster, not being able to do anything about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when he's sitting in her house, just hanging out, waiting. Yeah, it was really, really creepy to me.
Yeah. But you also, Lizzie liked to point out some of the inconsistencies in the story throughout, and I was defending the movie up until a point where I could not defend it. you know, there were a couple things like, this is the middle of London. What kind of backyard is this in this house? I'm like, well, they're in a park. She's like, oh, okay. You know, and then, you know, there was a couple others, but then there was
also,
like,
is there a full moon more than once a month?
There's not. There's okay. one full moon a month. However, there's a couple days in a row. There's like about 3 days where the moon is fairly full. One day that in the middle of the 3 days, that is the actual full moon itself.
Okay.
So I don't know if it actually had to be a full moon because it was the second day in a row.
Right, it's like, there's a full moon tonight. And I was like, there's a full moon last night, dude. Aren't you a doctor? Like, don't you know these things?
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I'll take
it. With werewolves.
Yeah.
I'm not a werewolf expert.
They don't need silver bullets either, apparently, so.
Well, no, he did not need silver bullets. They didn't seem to follow all the rules of werewolves.
No.
I feel like I've definitely seen werewolf horror movies where they turn two or three nights in a row.
That's true.
I don't know if that's like a norm.
I think that's fair. I think it's a fair thing to do in a film.
I'll take it.
Who wants
it's fine.
To wait a whole nother month for something else to happen in this movie?
Yeah, that would be ridiculous.
A lot of extra movies.
Yeah, like a month later.
You're right. It is like a couple days in a row.
Yeah.
You know, when the moon's pretty full.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. So maybe it doesn't have
Not
to
a
be
big deal.
The full moon.
Yeah.
Maybe it just has to be around the time of the full moon.
A fullish moon.
A fullish moon.
Yeah,
that's fine. Okay.
But yeah, I agree. It's a little bit confusing.
But I'm annoying like that with movies, so
I
don't
know. No, I appreciate that. I love to attack those things. I'm sure directors love it too when people do that.
Also, what I really loved about this movie too was I really like old myth based, like modern takes on old myths type of things, which is why I think I told Amy I kind of like vampire movies, horror movies. I like things that are old and myth based. And so I thought the Northern England community thing was really interesting for that because
yeah.
it's so old.
Yeah.
In this random city where these people are all like in cahoots with each other, like not to tell anybody about this town, and they're in the pub, and I loved that stuff. I thought that was great.
Yeah, the pub scenes are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I love the pub
dart.
Scenes. And I love the slaughtered lamb.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love how they were just in a truck filled with lambs.
Yep.
You know, sheep or lambs, whatever. And then they go to this pub called the Slaughtered Lamb and then basically it gets slaughtered. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just like it's such a great like device, you know, to use in a movie. It's simple, but it's also very effective and interesting to watch.
The music was great too.
Oh yes,
I loved the music.
That's what I was going to talk about. I didn't write it down.
They only used a few songs too.
They used like I think three or four
songs.
Yeah,
like three
songs. And they all have the word moon in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the way that they were played was really good. It was obviously, I can understand, like, when Amy told me this was the guy who made Blues Brothers, like, okay, that makes sense. Like, this guy knows how to use music to his advantage.
Yeah.
And it was very, it added to the comedy, for sure, when was Blue Moon playing during the transformation scene?
I think it might have been Blue Moon. I'm not 100% sure, but it's something that's way happier than you expect during a scene like that.
But it manages not to, like, negate the seriousness and, like, the gravity of what's happening. It's just, it just adds another layer, and I like that. That was, like, strong filmmaking.
Yeah, no, I love it when movies do that, when they use, like, the wrong song almost, but if it's so wrong that it just makes it even
funnier. I've always had this idea. I've never wanted to make horror movies or anything, but you know the song Jessie's Girl? Like, I've always thought that would be the best song for, like, a murderous rampage.
I don't know why.
It's kind of like, it's like that kind of thing.
There's always, like, you know, other movies that do that well.
American Psycho. That's a horror movie.
Yeah. Or like,
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, Stuck in the Middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like, it makes it so much creepier.
Totally.
Yeah.
It does.
For sure.
The ear cutting scene during Stuck in the Middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or nose? Is it nose? Or ear?
It's his ear.
Okay,
it's
right.
It's his ear, yeah.
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 Right off.
Right off.
Lopped it off.
All of the ear is gone.
The sweet saxophone playing during the sex scene.
Oh, God. The shower scene.
Yeah, that's another one where Lizzie
was like, oh, my gosh.
Why is there so much biting happening?
I'm like, you said that first.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I was like, oh, maybe because it's a werewolf movie and it's going to be biting.
Yeah, we thought maybe it was foreshadowing. Like, in this shower, she kept biting his shoulder, like, really lightly. It was just like, is this something I don't know about? Is this a thing? Like, I don't know.
Lots of tender nibbling.
Oh, yeah, lots of nibbling.
Yeah, tender nibbling.
Mm-hmm.
Just love making.
I like that the woman was I thought she was going to be like a, just to get all feministy with it, I thought she was going to be this, like, you know, typical damsel in distress type deal. And because she's so pretty and a nurse and, like, sympathetic character. But she turned out to be pretty strong, and I liked that.
Yeah.
And she wasn't, like, sexy the whole time with her. She didn't have sexy outfits on and stuff. And she was, like, you know, she's a smart, strong woman who was, like, fiercely independent, and also, you know, kind of went against the crowd, to was brave and ran through the crowd to get to him and tried to get through to him, and it seemed like she almost did, but not quite. But that's a nice, I mean, love stories in horror movies are not always my favorite, but this wasn't bad.
I loved her. I liked her a lot.
Yeah, she was cool.
She's a very interesting character. She's not one dimensional. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of dimension to her character, for lack of a better term. But I think, I like how she's like, you know, whatever, you know, I don't have a lot of money and my apartment's very small, and, you know, she has a little mini fridge instead of a big fridge, and, you know,
she's a working girl.
She's a working girl. Of course, when she said
a working
girl,
you're a prostitute. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's a whole other thing. Okay. Interesting.
And then I thought the scariest scene of the whole film was when he was bare-assed on her couch. I felt the most uncomfortable during that scene.
When he was talking to his dead friend?
Yes. I don't like bare-assing on furniture.
Yeah, I don't either. Honestly, that thought went through my head, too. I was like, God, that is so unsanitary.
That couch, no.
And he's got the pillow on his crotch conveniently placed.
No.
Like, put some pants on, dude. Just put shorts on.
God.
It's not polite.
At least the couch is brown.
Yeah.
In case there's some sort of accident.
Yeah, totally. It's just not polite.
It's disgusting. You know?
Don't put your butt on the couch.
During the transformation scene, I couldn't stop thinking, because the door was slightly open, and I was like, why was he, like, reading with the door slightly open? And then he starts turning, and I just thought, like, being a neighbor. Yeah, the front door is, like, slightly ajar. And I'm like, imagine being a neighbor, like, walking by and just seeing this man rip off his clothes and, like, start screaming at himself.
Well, in England, they would probably just look at you and just keep doing what they're doing.
Exactly.
My friend threw up on the tube in London, and I'll never forget this. And, like, everybody was reading their papers the morning commute. They turned around and looked at her and just looked away. I just kept reading. Nobody said a word. That's just England.
Sounds like New York.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that, too.
Do what you're gonna do.
I love during the transformation scene also, like, the Mickey Mouse close-up just in the middle of it.
Yep. Like, they used Mickey Mouse a couple times.
He's just so happy just sitting there watching it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
And I think they shot him when she was waiting around in the apartment again later, too.
Yeah. They show him a couple, Mickey Mouse a couple times.
Jack plays with him a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He talks to, what's the main character's name?
David.
David. Jack talks to David through the Mickey Mouse.
Yeah,
that was creepy. That was super creepy.
That was cute.
That freaked me out. I didn't like it. I don't know why. I don't know.
I thought that was cute. He picked it up and did a little cute.
Hi, David. The subway scene was cool, too. I enjoyed the cinematography with the chasing through the subway.
Yeah.
That guy who was all alone in the subway station.
Yeah.
Maybe because I missed the subway from San Francisco, but I loved that. I liked watching him run through the hallways and the naked empty subway station at night is cool.
Yeah. Because I've done that. I've had to walk through the subway alone at night.
Yeah, it's creepy.
And it's fucking creepy.
It is creepy.
Yeah,
it's really creepy.
Especially the escalator. Going up the escalator, you feel kind of vulnerable. It's, like, open.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I'm glad I don't do that right now. That would freak me out.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely was really scared for that guy. And then you don't really see what's chasing him. I mean, you know it's David,
yeah.
But... you know, just all of a sudden, like, that really brief, long shot where you can see the werewolf chasing him, and you're like, okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, you see the guy getting off the subway. It was, like, a quick shot, like, the scene changed to him getting off the subway, and you don't know who this guy is. I mean, yeah. Like, with the other people, when they're going to, the people who are, like, the dinner guests for the neighbor, you know that they're gonna die. You yeah. know who they are and why they're there, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But the subway scene, I was like, oh, maybe he's the cop that they called to go find him or something.
Right.
I didn't immediately know he was, like, you know, going to be a victim. And I liked that, too. It was a little surprising. I like being surprised by movies without being jumpy.
Yeah. This movie isn't very jumpy.
It's not. There are only a few.
Yeah, and the one that I thought was the scariest, you did not find scary.
Which
and
one?
You kind of chuckled at it.
Which one?
The part where he's having the dream and... David's in the bed in the middle of the woods, and then he turns into the scary face with the
no, because the it was it's like Evil Dead. It's like it's see this.
Yeah,
it wasn't
you don't
scary.
Expect it, and all of a sudden he goes and he's got the
yeah, but
face.
You've seen the dream sequences already, and you're like, I'm ready for something weird to happen because I've already seen the weird dream sequences, so I was like prepared.
I always think it's so funny what people find frightening because it's so different than whatever I always find frightening.
And I still don't totally understand why I think what I think is scary and what's not scary.
Yeah. I use a GIF of that a lot in my tweets. And every time
I'm in the bed?
Yeah, with him in the bed going up and having the scary face. And every time I do it, I'm like, ah!
It was very thriller. It was definitely very thriller-esque.
It
I saw the thriller face in that.
Yeah, could you imagine Michael Jackson watching
that,
this?
You know, Michael Jackson in the bed doing that, that would scare me.
Yeah.
That would freak me out.
Could you imagine him, though, like, watching this movie and be like, I really like this movie. I want to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, can you give me eyes like that, please?
I want to turn into a werewolf.
I'd like some skin
like-
flaps.
More modern Michael Jackson.
Yeah, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did he have a deeper voice in the 80s?
I think slightly. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's hear your version of it, Carly.
I got nothing.
Oh.
I got, no.
Well, come on, girl. You're going to call me out. I want to hear your Michael Jackson impression.
I really liked yours, though.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And then the waking up, I mean, he's naked. David is naked probably half of this movie.
He is naked a lot.
And there's some peen in it.
Is there?
Yeah.
You didn't see his peen?
No.
There's definitely a wiener shot when he's running in the park.
Oh, okay, like far away wiener shot. Yeah, I kind of saw that.
He's like holding himself and then he like lets go right before he gets behind the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think also when he's climbing out of the wolf.
Oh, yeah.
There's some weeness in that shot also.
Can you talk about the coat?
Not that I memorized all the weeness shots,
I think
you
have, clearly.
I'm very sorry.
Map them out.
There's more.
Can we talk about the coat?
Oh.
And the way the coat fit him.
I fucking love that coat.
I love the coat too. I would totally wear it. Except it fits this very large man that he stole from this little old lady.
I mean,
fits him perfectly across the chest.
It does. Yeah, but it does not fit him perfectly in the arms.
That's true. But the chest is big enough for him. And I'm like, right.
That's true.
He's
maybe she had large
Maybe she's
boots.
A large woman. It's possible.
Yeah. You have nice a jacket coat. That's kind of similar to
I have
that.
A couple jackets like that.
You have a red jacket that's similar to that. It doesn't have the fur, though.
It's true. It stayed at your house for a long time.
It did. I had it in my closet for a
It's fabulous.
It was cool. Mm-hmm. And she didn't seem too concerned when he showed up naked with the red coat on.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, it's fine. He's back. We're
she
just making
it
out.
She thought it was funny.
Yeah. I thought that was a little unbelievable. She and the doctor had been so freaked out, and he shows up just, like, nibbling at her naked in a coat, and she's like, it's okay.
She just looks so happy to see him.
Yeah.
She just didn't...
Happy
she
to
was,
see that weenus under the coat.
Oh, yeah.
She was really happy to see the weenus under the coat. She was all about the weenus.
Yeah.
I don't know why I keep saying weenus.
I don't either. Is that a thing now? Is that what we say?
That's what I say. It's what I say. I'm on board. It's my podcast, so whenever I say ghost, say weenus.
The correct terminology.
And also say peen. That's the other.
I thought weenus meant something else.
What else would it mean?
I don't know. I thought it was a name for a different, like a specific part, male part. I don't know.
I want to know what male part you think it's named after.
I'm trying to remember. I don't know.
I think you're thinking of penis, which is basically what we're talking about.
No, I'm confusing your penis. I'm going to find out. I'm going to tell you.
What other male part would it be?
It's like a specific part, like a connection between a penis and a ball sack or something.
No, that's like, the taint.
No, that's between the butthole and the penis, the balls.
The grundle.
Grundle? Okay. There's a lot I don't know, apparently. We're going to have to talk about this later.
No, this is great podcasting. Everyone loves the balls and the penis talk.
Guys,
that's the only reason we have anyone listening.
Totally what is it?
Wait, and what is the grundle?
It says something about weenus being the skin on your elbows.
Thank you. Oh, you're right. That's what it is. It's the part that you pinch and it doesn't hurt.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Carly's right. That is totally what weenus is.
Carly is not right. The weenus is
you got it, Carly. You're totally right. I'm taking over this podcast.
Yeah.
I've heard that before. Weenus, elbow skin. All right, anyway. Not a lot of elbow skin action in this movie.
Well, on my podcast, weenus means something different than elbows.
That's fine.
I'll tell you that. We'll not have you coming on here and disrespecting weenuses.
Oh, I'm just trying to give them the, you know, I don't know, the accurate description.
Can we call
that they
the little
deserve.
Flap on Jack's face a weenus?
Oh, that was pretty weenusy. There was more than one flap. It was like a couple of little like curtain. What did you just do? Did you spit on yourself?
No, I snorted.
Weenus flaps.
The weenus flaps made me snort.
Hey, so sorry about that. We lost some audio. We had some technical difficulties with recording through Skype. So we are wrapping it up now. Lizzie isn't here to join us because it's the Sunday and she was here Saturday. So
it's just us. Filling in the gap.
But she did send in a comment because since we lost some audio, and she did say the following information. She said, "I did really like it," referring to the movie. "I feel more open to horror. Now I see that there is room for nuance. The balance of comedy and horror was great. One wasn't sacrificed for the other." So we did successfully open her mind up to watching more horror movies, which is great. So I'd love to have Lizzie on again. I think she was a great guest. What do you think, Carly?
I think so, too. We made a monster.
I think so. I think so. I think with a couple more times, we could get her. Get her even further into it. So we need to think of some more not straight horror films.
Yeah.
I think as long as there's some lightness in there, it seems like it's a little bit easier for her to take.
Has she seen the original Dawn of the Dead?
I don't think so. It wasn't on her list.
I feel like she would like that.
Yeah, that might be a good one to do next time. So, let's see, we can start wrapping things up, but we have been working on our 31 in 31 days, watching a horror movie every day in October. How are you doing with it so far, Carly?
Real well. I've actually gotten a couple movies in on Sundays, so I'm going to have an abundance of movies.
I find it a little bit challenging to come home after a long day of work and pick a horror movie. I kind of wish I spent more time picking things out ahead of time. But at the same time, you're not always in the mood to watch the movies that you planned for yourself.
Exactly.
You know, like sometimes I want to watch something that's just goofy and stupid. And sometimes I want to watch something like really gory, you know. So I've been kind of going all over the place. I watched Nightmare on Elm Street 3. And then the next day I watched Nightmare on Elm Street 4. And I was like, God, 4 is really not as good as I remembered. Like, 3, like, the Dream Warriors is still amazing, and I still love 3. I mean, the storyline is totally stupid. It makes no sense, but it's so much fun. And 4 was just, like, really not, like, everything. Like, I just remembered the Freddy pizza, and I got excited about it. But then I was like, Like, there is some... I mean, there's some fun kills in that one, but it's still pretty stupid. Like, the story makes no sense.
They all meld together for me, because last time I saw them, I watched them all, like, back to back.
Yeah, it's been a while since I have. So I just got the collector set. I bought it on half.com. Nice. And it came with like all these pairs of 3D glasses. So I've just, I love A Nightmare on Elm Street. I love it so much. This whole series is so great. So it's been really fun revisiting that. I'm not really sure where I'm going to go next, but I know I want to do some new movies too. I don't know.
I feel like I've been doing mostly new movies just because I'm lazy and I just look at what's streaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I took a chance and watched that Jerusalem movie.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It actually wasn't terrible.
No.
It would have been good for our found footage. I don't think it was like traditionally a found footage movie, but it's done primarily through like Google Glass glasses.
Okay.
I guess. Okay,
sure.
So it's really interesting. I haven't seen a movie that was like that. But yeah, I was like, I think my friend texted me the day before and was like, I watched Jerusalem yesterday. And then I like noticed it was Rosh Hashanah and I was like, I'm going for it. Even though I totally should have watched it on Yom Kippur. Cause I guess that's, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Continue.
Okay. So
your friend called you. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my friends had texted me and was like, I watched Jerusalem and I noticed it was Rosh Hashanah and I was like, I'm going to watch this, but I should have watched it. It takes place like around Yom Kippur, which is actually this next week. So if you guys want to get into the holiday spirit, watch Jerusalem. That takes place on Google Glass.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite only, Jewish like, horror movies.
I've watched so far. Yeah.
Which actually there's like a couple. Do you ever see that movie? I think it's called like The Possession or something. It like came out like 4 years ago. About, like, the Dabuk, I think it's called a Dabuk box. It was, like, a haunted Dabuk box, which is apparently, like, a little wine cabinet that they find. It's apparently based on a true story where there's, like, this Jewish wine cabinet that was haunted and had all this weird stuff in it. And it kept, like, everyone that was in possession of this box, like, had all these terrible things happen to them. And it wasn't a fantastic movie, but it was decent. And
it's like a fun watch.
Yeah. But that one's got like kind of like a Jewish thing going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. We should do a Jewish oh horror God. Month.
That would be amazing.
We might need more than like two movies though.
Yeah. It would be Jerusalem and then that movie.
There's got to be more, right?
There it does. I'm kidding. We haven't done our research.
Yeah. No. I think we could do it. You know, there's so many Catholic ones. We should just go through all of it. I mean, and Under the Shadow, there's like so much cool stuff. I can't wait till you see that movie.
I can't stop talking
about it. I know I did my like weird 8-minute review like episode, but like I really want to discuss it with you at some point because it's phenomenal. So good.
I'll make a point to go out and see it for sure.
Yeah. What else? So yeah, 31 and 31's going well. I'm sticking with it. I'm doing it. Some days are easier than others, but, yeah, it's hard when you're working, man. It's hard when you work all day and you're like, ugh.
Yeah. I think that's what I like about them. Yeah. Cause then you come home and then you're just like, I'm just going to sit in front of this TV and watch a movie and zone out.
Totally.
But like on some days you're like, I just want to go do stuff, but I have to watch this movie. And
yeah,
so,
it's hard, especially when you get home and there's like 5 minutes of light left of daylight left. And you're just like, ugh, and there's politics everywhere. And you're just like, ugh, I hate all of this. I'm just going to escape into horror movies. I also found this article. I was up at like 3 a.m. cause I couldn't sleep. Because I have crazy anxiety issues. But I was up at like 3 a.m. and I found this article that I thought was really interesting about how people who have like generalized anxiety disorder tend to like horror movies more. I tweeted the article if anyone's interested in watching it or reading it. It's really interesting stuff.
I saw that today. I haven't read it yet though, but I feel like that would make sense.
It totally does. And I've always felt that way. Like as someone who has anxiety over things that are stupid and you can't control, like I always feel like horror is great. Because I have this outlet where I can make myself have anxiety over things that don't matter and don't really exist. And it's like, it's like therapeutic almost, which is kind of hard to explain, but it's true. And I really like that article. So if you're interested, and you want to read it, it should be on our Twitter page. I'll also put it maybe on our website. I could put a link to it on our website.
Check it out.
Yeah, it's some interesting stuff. And then you just saw something amazing last night. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Oh my gosh. I saw, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I saw the U.S., really the North American premiere of the Dawn of the Dead in 3D. And
so jealous.
Holy cow. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, there's a lot of movies nowadays that are like put out in 3D just to kind of like put something out in 3D, but you don't really, it doesn't really look 3D, you know?
Yeah.
But like this movie feels like it was made to be in 3D. Like,
wow.
There's so many cool, cool moments where, and the producer, Richard Rubenstein, who, he is the one that made this happen, and he's the one that really wanted to make this, to, you know, move forward with this project, was there last night, and he did a little Q&A afterwards. And it was really cool watching him talk about how he wanted to make sure that every single frame had a 3D element to it.
Wow.
So like even something as subtle as like when someone is smoking a cigarette, like this, you know, the smoke is like kind of coming out, and it just makes the moments where like you have blood splatter or glass shatter or even mm-hmm. like zombies coming out that mm-hmm. much cooler. Like, it was amazing. I didn't really know what to expect because obviously like it's an old movie,
right?
But it was awesome.
Well, they really sound like they went for it, you know? They didn't just half-ass it. It wasn't just like some bullshit way to get extra money for a movie that came out a ton of years ago, but it's just they really took the time and energy to make it something special that people would really want to see. So that's super awesome and exciting, and I really hope I get the opportunity to see it that way. I'm super jealous. And I know a bunch of people are jealous right now. We got so much Twitter love about it last night.
I mean, it definitely felt like a passion project for him. He was saying how, you know, he would get the daily sides and he would, you know, download the files from his computer and plug it into his 3D TV and watch, you know, what was given to him. And it's been like 3 years in the making.
Fuck.
And the attention to detail is just phenomenal.
No, like, that's amazing.
It's so cool.
Because no one does that. Like, who does that? Like, now it's like you either half-ass it or like you do it from scratch. But this takes such devotion. It's so exciting. Yeah. I love that they did that. I hope things like that like start popping up more, because how amazing would that be?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So cool. So cool.
Well, if anyone has the chance to see that, me, myself included, we should seek that out because that sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else? Next week, we are doing one of our Halloween episodes, one of our October episodes. We're going to be looking at Ty West's The Innkeepers, which is streaming on Hulu right now. And then we're also going to be doing The Houses October Built, which is on Netflix. Both are kind of like haunted housey type movies. One is like based around fake haunted houses and one's based around real haunted houses, but nonetheless semi-related, I guess. We're gonna be
fun watches,
good October watches. So those will be two of my movies this week. And then what else? Like, we are just gonna continue on this movie watching path. So please tweet at us, FinalGirlsHC, with what movies you're watching, or you can find us on Instagram, Final Girls Horrorcast, on Facebook, Final Girls Horrorcast, or you can email us, FinalGirlsHorrorcast@gmail.com. Visit our website, FinalGirlsHorrorcast.com. thanks to Troy for our song Sequencing the Drone. Thanks to Jason Link for our amazing artwork. Did I forget anything?
I think we're good.
All right. Yeah, I'm getting better at this signing out thing. I'm remembering all the stuffs.
You nailed it.
Yeah. Oh, and Letterboxd too. If you're making your October playlist, please follow us on Letterboxd, and we will enjoy that. I am A-Wiki, A-W-I-K-I. And do you know yours? Because I know yours.
I do. Okay. I'm Carly Michelle, all one word with one, well, M-I-C-H-E-L-E.
Yeah.
I need to update mine. I think I need to, I haven't added the screams yet.
Oh, yeah. I know I have some updating to do as well, but feel free to check out what we're watching on there. And yeah, it's a fun website. So anyway, that's it for today. We'll talk to you again next week when we watch Innkeepers and The House is October Built. Until then, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Have a nice night.